Our scripture reading this evening is from Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil.
Good evening. What a pleasure it is to be back home. I missed you guys so much. It was a successful gospel meeting. They treated me with the utmost love and respect and kindness. They welcomed me with open arms. But I really, really, really missed you all. And I'm so happy to be here and back with you all. My family is happy. Roman is happy. He asks me every single day, are we not going to Eastland, Dad? Not today. But again, what a pleasure it is to be here. And I want you to know that I gave it my all. And a week-long gospel meeting does take a lot out of you, and especially the children. But I'm so thankful that I'm able to stand before you today and deliver the Word of God. Before I begin, I would like to share something with you. When God answers a prayer, I mean, it is a special thing. It is a wonderful thing when God answers a prayer. And after I started trying to work out and trying to eat better and start this new diet, I told myself that I would not drive by bakeries that have donuts because I really love donuts. And so I was driving by these bakeries, and then I said to myself, the best way to do this is avoid driving by the bakeries. And one day, I accidentally drove by Krispy Kreme. And they just built it on Shelbyville Road. And I didn't know. And the hot sign was on. I felt like it wasn't an accident, to be honest with you. And so I prayed. I said, Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of these delicious hot donuts, you will create a parking space for me right in the front. And after the eighth time around, that parking space came open. I'm so glad to be back with you all. I'm so glad you all in great spirits. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning with verse 13, it says, now all has been heard. There is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Our age tends to blur distractions and throw everything into a gray area. But in the scriptural matters, these things are so much clear cut. See, in the world, there are two types of people. There are good people and there are bad people. Those who willingly love God, who obey him with every fiber of their being, and you have those who stubbornly reject him. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Beginning with verse 5, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, because of your stubbornness and your unrepented heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence is doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Listen, saints, there are two types of destinations that await us. That is heaven, and that is hell. There is no probationary place where you can go. There's no place where you can get your act together while you're in transition. It's either heaven or hell. But here's the thing. What depends upon whether or not we make it to heaven or hell? Our actions. Simply, our actions. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are a slave to the one that you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." Our actions simply show us who we serve. Who you love will determine how you act every single day of your life. And we understand that we can only serve one or two masters. The master of this world or our God which is in heaven. I think sometimes it's worth asking people, how did they become the way that they've become? How did you get to where you are? How did you become the person you've become? Why do you think this way? And I think it is a good thing to ask them this. But I've come to find out that our characteristics and who we are is simply the accumulation of the decisions we have made. You want to find out who you are? You want to take a look at where you are right now in life? All you have to do is jot down every single decision you have made thus far. If you're having issues in your marriage, look at the decisions you've made up until this point. If you're going through some financial troubles, look at the decisions you've made up until this point. If your children have become wayward, they're disrespectful, they don't listen, think about all of the decisions you have made thus far. If you are dissatisfied right now, if you are unhappy right now, well, where you are, you simply need to not blame other people, nor do you need to blame circumstances beyond your control. What you need to do is look at the fact that I have been making decisions that have caused me to be exactly where I am. A lot of people say, I'd be better off if I was dealt a better hand. We tend to think if I was a millionaire, if I was born into money, that I would be better off. If my parents were in the church, I would be better off. If I went to this school, if I grew up on this side of town, if I was introduced to sports, I would be better off. Yet, in all important ways, each one of us are the product of the decisions we have made. Not mommy, not daddy, not the people that have come before you, but you. You are responsible for where you are right now in life. Our character is truly built up of external circumstances, but it's based on what we have chosen to do in those circumstances. They will surely come. Troubles will surely come your way. Heartache will surely come. Your heart will surely be broken. But the question is, what do I choose to do when these things happen to me? I want to do a contrast between Saul with David. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning with verse 14, the Bible says, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." I think a lot of times we forget that when things don't go our way, there is demotion, not promotion. When you make bad decisions, bad things happen. When you take bad actions, there are bad reactions. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 28, Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors to one better than you. See, the kingdom was taken from Saul because of what? Bad choices. It wasn't because he had bad breath. It wasn't because he didn't look as cute. It wasn't because he wasn't as handsome. It wasn't because he couldn't play an instrument. It was because of bad choices. We need to accept, saints, our responsibilities for the things that we have made for ourselves. The very bed that you are laying in that is uncomfortable, you made. Everything that you're dealing with to this point in your life, you had a choice based on how you were to deal with those circumstances. We are what we have chosen to be. You have a free will choice in the matter to either be a faithful servant of God or be a servant to the master of this world. We are self-made persons. But unfortunately, self-made persons are often the product of unskilled labor. See, because they don't follow a blueprint. They don't have someone that they look to. They didn't look to someone to do it. They said, I come up with it on my own. I have my own plan. I will follow my own understanding. I'll do things my way. I'll get it done my way. Therefore, that is unskilled labor. And what happens is you end up reaping what you sow. We get mad at everybody else for what we are reaping. You sowed it. Now you're reaping it. And then you're looking around blaming all of these circumstances besides the fact that they are happening because of my actions. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, the Bible tells us something very important to warn us. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Decisions and choices have a cumulative effect. They tend to have a snowball effect. Once you start, it begins to happen. Even the little choices. A lot of times we think, oh, you know, I just made a little small choice. It matters. Everything we do matters. A lot of times we try to slide it under work. Well, that's not a big deal. That's not really major. No, everything you do. We just read in Ecclesiastes. You will take an account for everything you have done, whether it was good or whether it was evil. So you tell me, does every act count? Yes. The answer is yes. Everything you do matters. So therefore, we need to really tread lightly when it comes to being obedient Christians. We need to make sure that we're doing everything that we need to be pleasing unto God. Every decision, every act, saints, changes a person for better or for worse. Every decision you make, some bad things start to happen. You begin to change. Decision after decision after decision. Now, if they're good, you begin to change for the better. Good things are happening. I'm making good choices. There are good responses. There are good reactions. So I want to continue to do these things, right? But if you're doing them the opposite way, which are bad, bad things are happening. Bad responses are coming in. Things are not coming together. Then that's who you become. You are what you practice. If you are practicing good, then you are good. If you are practicing bad daily, you are bad. You practice righteousness, you are righteous. You are practicing that. That is who you become. Future choices must be made by a person who has been shaped by the choices already made. You have to have already made those choices in your mind. For example, Daniel in chapter 6, I want you to look at this. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he became aware of this. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. As he did aforetime. Choice builds a habit. The choices that you do, they build a habit, and they built a habit in the life of Daniel. With everyone, even the slightest deed, the smallest thank you, we are building up a character within ourselves that we find it progressively easier to do. You think about that. The first time you lied and got away with it, and you did it again, and you did it again, it became easier and easier and easier. You think about the first time that you were able to stand before a crowd of people and lead a prayer, young men, it became easier and easier every time you did it. When you prayed, it became easier and easier. When you spread the gospel, you shared it with someone, it became easier. You loving your wife like you should became easier. Disciplining your kids like you should, it became easier. Loving God like you should became easier. Having a connection with him, loving him with all of your heart became easier. It wasn't a task. It was something you decided to do, and because of that, it is now who you are. We are building good habits and bad habits by our actions. And I want to encourage you that we build those good habits by doing them all the time. And when we do these things, good or bad, some of them are hard to quit. When you start having that prayer life like never before, it became a part of your life. It was almost like, oh, wait a minute, something's wrong. Oh, I need to pray. Oh, wait a minute, I didn't read. Oh, I didn't share a story or read a scripture with my daughter or with my son. Oh, we got Bible study tonight. Oh, we got to make it to the gospel meeting. These things become easier and they become who you are. And these habits are hard to quit. And these are good habits. But the flip side of that is when you create bad habits, that's what you become. And the problem that I think most of us have is we think that when we have not made a decision that we're standing still. No one is standing still. When you have not decided to do something, you've decided to do something. Nothing. So you're not standing still. You want to be on the fence, you're still deciding. You are either with God or you're against him, but you're deciding. And a lot of people say, well, I'll stand in the middle. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to teach a class. I'm not going to spread the gospel. I'm not going to work on this, and I'm not going to work on that, because I'm just going to stay right here in my safe place. But you're still doing something, and you're not standing still. With every choice, we are becoming more like Christ or more like Satan. I'll say it again. You're either becoming more like Christ or more like Satan. John chapter 8 and verse 44. The Bible says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Why would you say that unless these are the actions in which you display? Truly, you are carrying out the desires of Satan and how he operates if you're living like the world. You've made a choice. So either A, you say, I want to be more like Christ. So what do? I practice Christ-like things. I develop the characteristics of Christ by doing what Christ does, by practicing what Christ practiced, by praying how Christ prayed, by living how Christ lived, by being in leadership how Christ did his leadership. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 19, the Bible says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We can no longer do this. Why? because they are darkened by their understanding, and they are separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So if you are ignorant and you are practicing things that are ignorant, that's what you become. Your actions display what you will become. And because of that, your heart becomes more and more hardened. So what I'm simply saying is, if you are practicing foolishness, you will become foolish. If you desire that ignorance is bliss, then you will be ignorant. And the point I'm making is, your heart will become hardened, having lost all sensitivity because of what they practice. They have given themselves over to sensuality because of their actions. So what do? They indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Compare this. Listen, this is why they are who they are. So that's why it's important for us to come together and be here and practice being with the saints. Practice praying. Practice, evangelizing. Practice all these things, because in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 it says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So if you're reading your Bible, you begin to understand what it is that is required of me. When you start spending time with the saints, you understand what is required of me. If you don't understand what it is, you ask Brother Dan, you ask the elders, the shepherds here, you ask one of the brothers that are well-versed in something that you want to talk about, that you need prayer with. But first things first, you need to get on your knees and you need to pray. Then after you get on your knees, you need to pray. Then you ask God to forgive you of the very things that have separated you from him, the very actions that you are taking that is causing you to be the way that you are. And then if you're not a Christian, you need to go down in the water grave of baptism after you understand what it is that is required of you. But it has to be a constant thing that you do to train yourself. But it is a sobering thing to also think that every act counts. I don't want to, just make this a bad thing, but God will take care of every act if you take care of your business and your actions, meaning his. No decision is too small to be significant. And again, I think we're trying to put it in categories. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. He says, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. Everything that we do counts. Everything that we do matters. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, giving an account, and we will receive those things that are due to us based on our actions. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose those and their hearts to what the things that they have done. I think sometimes we think we are merely being careless or haphazardous means it's okay. Okay, I'm a little careless. It's all right. It's not a big deal. I'm not doing any major sinning. I'll forsake the assembly. Not a big deal. I'll lie here and there. Not a big deal. I'll cheat on my taxes and change the number here. I'll steal at work or do little small things like that. I'll run a few red lights. I'll slide some people some free food while I'm at work, or some nice clothes while I'm on the job. Oh, that's nothing major. But the consequence of our choices, saints, are eternal. They're not like little slaps on the hands that happen when you do something that's wrong or right. They are eternal choices. So when you think about the actions in which you take, say, the very thing that I'm about to do right now is an eternal choice for me. The acts in which I'm about to get involved in, young people, while I'm away from home and I'm at school and I'm not around mommy and daddy, this very choice that I'm about to make is an eternal choice because they have eternal consequences. Hell will not be the arbitrary punishment for people who engage in certain acts. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21 says, What benefited you? What did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? You think about all the choices. Some of us that's in here, I'll be the first one to say, I'm ashamed of some of the choices I made And what did it benefit me to be the cool guy? What did it benefit me to try to cheat or get by on something? What did it benefit me to lie? What does it benefit you to cheat on your wife? What does it benefit you to steal? What does it benefit you to look at pornography? What does it benefit you to get yourself involved in homosexual acts? What does it benefit you? The Bible says, what did it benefit you to reap at this time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. Hello. It is a warning. It is telling us the very actions you take can either separate you from God or put you in fellowship with him, put you in good standings with him. So every act counts. Every action we take has consequences. God would not inadvertently make a mistake and co-sign anyone to eternal punishment. It's because of us. It's what you and I have done. And the few people that are out there who set out to be wicked, sooner or later, they will have their place. I know sometimes it's hard to see evil people look like they're doing well. And you know that they're doing evil things. And sometimes it may be discouraging to some of our young people. You know that this person is cheating on tests, he's getting A's, but you study really hard. That can be discouraging sometimes. But sooner or later, they will, just as we will. And I want you to think about this. We'll have to sit down to a banquet full of consequences. You're going to have to sit down at that table, and you're going to have to consume every rotten thing you have done. Every wicked word you said, everything that you know you shouldn't have done, every lie you told, you have to sit down at that table and you have to consume it and you got to eat it all. And when I think about that, I can think about the most rottenest, disgusting thing. Just think about eating rusty nails and dead animals and all of these rotten things that you have done. You have to sit down and you got to consume them. You got to eat them all over again because you got to take it. You have to be reminded of the very things that you have done. Or would you rather sit down at the table and something good would be laid out before you? Because everything that you put out that you're getting back is good. You're consuming those Krispy Kreme donuts that you love so much. Amen. You are able to receive those things because that's what you put out. And you stand before God and there it is, a feast of good things. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Here it is. It's also encouraging to think that every act counts, that we can never truly say that our lives are helpless or hopeless. Yeah, you may have made some bad decisions. Maybe you've done some things that you shouldn't have done. But I'm telling you, you can alter the situation by changing the decisions that you make starting tonight. It can begin with you tonight. You can have an act of faith that steps into the direction of goodness that can change your life forever. God is not looking for people who can do everything, but he's looking for those who are willing to do everything that they can do. So you don't have to be the greatest at everything, but he's wanting you to put everything on the line for him. He loves you, so why don't we love him? And when you do that, heaven will be the outcome. What greater gift? What greater thing to wait for in the end for doing what you're supposed to do? Romans chapter 6, verse 21. Again, I want to remind you, what did it benefit you to reap at the time from the things that you were ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. There is nothing more encouraging than to understand that if my actions change for the better and the things that I practice are good, that I will reap eternal life. It can't get any more clear cut than that. Do good and good would happen. You will become good. Good will be a part of your life. Good will be a part of all of your actions and everything that you do. Life is serious business. but it pays dividends for us to pay close attention to it carefully. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, let us be sobered by the fact that each action reaches into eternity and take the responsibility for the bad choices we've made. In all things, saints, let us be grateful for the opportunity to make better choices today. Maybe you didn't make better choices yesterday. Maybe you didn't make better choices last week. Maybe you didn't make better choices 20 minutes ago. Maybe you had some bad thoughts running through your mind. Maybe you and the wife argued on the way over here. Maybe you said some things, you was listening to some things, been involved in some things that you shouldn't have been. But this very moment, you can take action to change exactly where you are. Remember, every act counts. Remember, everything we do, even the little things, count. So I'm wondering, what are you willing to do to change what you've done? What actions are you willing to take to become more like Christ? What actions are you willing to take to start serving God and no longer the master of this world? If you're here tonight and you are Christian, and you have not exemplified those things, those characteristics, you have not considered every act counts, you have an opportunity to change that tonight. And if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to act on the best thing that has ever been given to mankind. And that's an opportunity of everlasting life. I'm encouraging you to act, and I mean act now. Act like you love him. Act like you care. Act like you now understand that there are only two places you can be: in heaven and hell when this life is over. I encourage you to do what's right as together we stand and sing.